I'm Maria Dudzak, and this morning, joining me in the studio, I have Romanda Simpson. She's the Behavioral Health Program Director at the Ketchikan Wellness Coalition, and also Estelle Cowie, who is with CarHouse. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you to both of you for being here. And let's start off, I guess, first with you, Romanda. Tell us a bit about Ketchikan Wellness Coalition. What is that organization? What does it do? And all the various committees and whatnot involved with it.
Yeah. The Wellness Coalition is an organization that really brings together all of the local organizations, individuals that believe that wellness is an important part of Ketchikan. So we have four task forces right now. One is the Behavioral Health Task Force, which is part of mine. We have the Substance Abuse Task Force, and they focus on reducing alcohol consumptions. Right now they're looking at teens in particular, but also in general. We have the Building Healthy Communities, and they're actually the ones that built the disc golf. So they raised funds. They were like, we're going to make this happen, put a lot of time and effort into it, and now each year they're going to be doing a tournament, which hopefully some of you got to attend. And then we also have our Cultural Unity Task Force as well, and they just did a youth camp in the summertime that got kids out and engaged. And really it's just all aspects of health and wellness, and that's what we look at.
The one that you're involved with, the Behavioral Health Task Force, what has that group been up to?
Yeah, well, they've been busy. I just started in the role about a month ago, and in this short period of time, there has been a mental health first aid workshop, which was done at the Church of Nazarene a couple weekends ago. We are looking to do more outreach. We were part of the Stomp the Stigma, creating the signs and really supporting Danielle's efforts in getting that going, and CarHouse was there as well. And then in the past, we've done writing workshops, which is writing your story. So people that have experienced mental health issues were able to come in, and they were supported by our local author to write their story and be able to share it and speak it the way that they want to with words on the paper. They have done a mask making workshop, and as part of that, they did the art walk where then they displayed the masks, and it was our mask, our meaning. So lots of different activities have been happening, lots more coming up. I'm pretty excited about our future. More mental health first aid workshops will be offered throughout the next year, hopefully once a month.
And Estelle, tell us about CarHouse.
Oh, I'd love to. Thank you. CarHouse is a 15-bed facility, treatment facility for the treatment of substance use disorders, alcoholism and drug addiction. We admit both men and women who also have co-occurring disorders. And what co-occurring means is people that have issues with mental health disorders as well as the substance use disorders. I have the honor of getting to fill my mentor Steve Parker's shoes after he left the CarHouse. And we've got a really beautiful program. I love it there.
How full is it? Is it usually full? Is there a waiting list
flows.
Kind of thing?
There is a waiting list, but if we are not able to admit people, we will work to the best of our ability to get them into services as quickly as possible. We also, at Aquila, have an intensive outpatient program as well as an outpatient program. So if a person isn't able to get into CarHouse, we can see a person on an outpatient level until bed availability is there. Currently, we are at 13 out of 15 beds, but those beds are going to be filled this week, and we have someone graduating from CarHouse as well.
Where is CarHouse?
CarHouse is at the old daycare. When I first moved here almost 6 years ago, we were where the new hospital wing is at. We are located on Washington Avenue on that one-way street.
Okay, I know what you're talking about now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, because I know there was a previous location many years ago, mm-hmm. and then that facility closed down, and then I never knew where it went, I guess.
Yeah.
So, and what does the program entail? How do you help people? What, how does the program work?
I help people learn how to take care of themselves. The environment is highly structured, 24 hours a day. We offer a therapeutic community. It's not a true therapeutic community like they have in the Aquila House, which is our flagship program in Anchorage. But the community plays a large part in how a person recovers. A person cannot recover in isolation. Mm-hmm. We have an upstairs lead who helps organize the meal preparation and the tending of the chores on the upstairs. We have a downstairs lead who helps ensure that the downstairs is maintained in an appropriate fashion. And we also have a community relations lead. And every morning, the leads will meet with staff and bring up any issues that they themselves are not able to solve. We have 22 hours of group per week. These groups and classes are designed to provide our clients with information on addictive disease, which encompasses all life areas. It's physical in nature. It is psychological in nature. It is social in nature. And then our clients will also be meeting with our two counselors for one-on-ones every week as well.
How long do people generally stay there?
The program is designed to be from 3 to 6 months.
Is this something, do people work while they do this, or they're there?
They are there.
This is their program.
It's their time.
For their, yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely.
And how is the success rate?
We have a high success rate. Our success rate is... oh, I had this number, but it's around 30% of people that will be able to maintain their abstinence, okay. And that's high in this world.
Coming up next week is Mental Health Awareness Day. Is that correct?
That is right, October 10th.
And what are some of the things, I guess, you wanted to speak about today about mental health, being aware, as well as taking care of your own mental health?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's really important that we're actually even here talking about our mental health. There's so many times we're all, oh, my mental health is totally fine, and then we go home and have those moments. Nighttime often is a challenging time for people that are experiencing mental health issues. I know for myself that when I fall into a depression, if I'm alone at home at night, that's when my mind kind of goes all over the place that, you know, and when we, and there's a variety of different mental health issues. You know, I personally experience depression. Other people in our community have anxiety. We have obsessive compulsive disorder. We have schizophrenia in our community. And really, like, just wanting to be able to talk about it and say, you're not alone. There are resources here in our community that you can access. There's peer support groups. SAIL runs a peer support group. There, you know, Carhouse is there for you if you're suffering from an addictive. Yeah, go ahead.
And Aquila Gateway, we have a mental health program as well, and they have a wonderful drop-in center up mm-hmm. at the top of the hill for people that have severe and persistent mental illness, and they format that. It's a lovely program as well.
And KIC is another amazing resource, and they have a substance abuse program as well that is open to all members of our community. Alaska Natives are able to access their mental health, like their behavioral health program, but for substance abuse, anybody in our community can. So there's lots of resources, and really it's about acknowledging and reducing the stigma around it, saying it's okay, you're not a bad person. There are people in our community, myself, many, many people that are saying, I can still be a contributing member mm-hmm. of society. I am still a good person, even though I may struggle throughout my life with various disorders.
I want to say also there are degrees. I mean, we yeah. all have mental health, whether one has a diagnosed, whatever you want to say, condition or whatever it may be, just your health and well-being, and even stressful situations affect our health.
Definitely.
And our mental health. So it's very broad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's different factors. You know, we do have, you've got your chemical, but you've also got your situational factors that could trigger, you know, grief is a process, but there's a kind of a normal spectrum of grief, and grief could trigger you down a road that is more than just grief as kind of a, I'm doing a little circle here with my hands.
Umbrella,
right. And you're right. And I think part of it is to recognize what you're experiencing. And if you've ever got thoughts of self-harm, that's when you really need to make sure you're saying that to somebody. And for those that notice a friend suddenly different, maybe not coming out as often, that's a huge mm-hmm. indicator for myself when I become less social, start to isolate myself. And it's not that I want to, but it's just easier to cope. It's this constant front face that you put on to the world. Mm-hmm. And so then at night you're like, oh, I got to recoup myself. And so if you're an individual that's noticing a friend hasn't been calling like they normally do, mm-hmm. or just seems a little off, it's okay to ask, are you okay? Are you having thoughts of self-harm? And that's one of the strongest things. And I know everyone's like, oh, I get, like, I don't want to impede on somebody else's personal life. But that's what we are. We're social people, and we look out for each other, and that's the way to do it, is just to be upfront.
I think it's getting harder and harder now just with the culture, and everybody texts and... doesn't even, I'll be across the room from a person and just texting them instead of actually speaking to them. Mm-hmm. And I imagine it is getting harder and harder really to reach out mm-hmm. to people on a personal level.
And it's also really hard to see if somebody is going through that because we put,
they're not with them.
Yes. We put a front on, on our Facebook profile, you typically highlight the good things. And so I remember seeing a post by a girl like, this isn't what depression looks like. Mm-hmm. And she has a picture of herself on her Facebook that's super smiley and happy. But she goes, this is what I'm really feeling inside. And she had a picture of what people see as depression. Mm-hmm. And that's always an interesting factor because a lot of our, the world will say, oh, well, you're not depressed, you're smiling. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's not, depression doesn't hit you as like you have to be sad every single moment of every single day. It's a bigger thing than that. The social media component and sometimes, I believe that the social media actually is having a factor. I just went to a training, like a grant, all the grants. So we received a grant from the state that funds our behavioral health program here. And all of the grantees throughout the state got together and we talked about it. And one of the things that came up was shared factors and how connectedness is the shared factor that through any of the issues, suicide, substance abuse, mm-hmm. depression, anxiety, all of these things, connectedness, and the more we disconnect, we struggle more mm-hmm. with different mental health issues. So connectedness ended up being a really big theme. And although social media is supposed to try to connect us, it's sort of a false connection.
I have 10,000 friends, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
I don't.
I got 10,001.
Yeah. No, but there are that where there are people who do. It's like anybody, you're my friend, and having those numbers and what that means to them, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Other people are more selective on who they interact with. Some people mm-hmm. are very limited. It's just the close friends and family. So everybody's kind of different on how they deal with that. Yeah. But like you said, I mean, you're distant, you're typing in having a great day, or
you can pretend very easily
or whatever. And some people are very personal out there. I mean, they mm-hmm. put out the harsh and hard mm-hmm. stuff. So
and you know what, at the same time, a dear friend of mine, I won't mention his name unless I know he's choosing to be vocal, but I'll let him do that. Mm-hmm. And he shared on Facebook his own struggles with depression and anxiety, and he kind of did a little essay, and it was actually quite beautiful. Mm-hmm. So there are moments that you can use that for. The hardest part is when someone says, oh, just suck it up. that's just life. Mm-hmm. And sometimes when in a social media setting, you can't respond to that really effectively. So just being aware of if somebody is sharing on a social media platform, that's a pretty courageous thing to do. And so, be aware of how you're responding to that.
I want to say also, you never know unless you're in someone else's shoes. You can't understand.
Definitely.
if you yourself have never had depression, how can you understand? If you haven't, you know, experienced schizophrenia, or say, how can you really understand? Or that that idea of, like you said, oh, just be happy, get over it. Even just people dealing with grief. I know we've had people come in and talk with the grief support group and other organizations of, some people get angry at you because you're not grieving appropriately because of how they, and it might be the same thing. You're not behaving how I think you should behave if you're depressed, exactly right. like you say. So,
and you look now at some of, you know, these really famous people that are actually speaking out and saying, you know, I had the coolest job ever. I'm an actor and I'm getting paid tons of money. I have dogs. I have an awesome husband and I have a fabulous life. I don't know why I'm feeling this way. It's just all, it was big and heavy and the anxiety that came around with that, you know, so it doesn't, mental illness doesn't discriminate on who it's affecting or what your life is currently like.
For, well, I was gonna say also for some people, they need medications to balance something chemical. And I know that has been part of the stigma as well of, oh, you can just exercise and feel better or whatever. Or, but oftentimes it's a chemical thing.
Well, I want to piggyback off what you're saying. The idea of the mask, I've seen people who struggle with depression and they will say, I'm fine. And their body language will reveal that they are anything but fine. There's a fun acronym for fine. Frazzled, insecure, neurotic, and egotistical. There's another F word, but it's not appropriate to say on the F word. Plus, I'm a big fan of using the double Z. There is something to say for acting as if. I'm a woman who knows what it's like to suffer with depression and anxiety. I take my medications as prescribed, but it's not a happy pill. And there are days when the energy to literally get out of bed will hurt. And so I will act as if because I want to be a part of life. And I don't, I have moved away from the smiling candy cop out and bubbly bluff and saying, you know, I'm feeling low energy today, and I don't try to push myself any more than what needs to be done. The art of compassion is something that we in this age of loneliness get to learn, and I think that's why what we're doing here today is hopefully going to help strengthen that. There's nothing wrong with a person who has mental illness, but it is what is happening inside of their body.
Yeah, and you were mentioning kind of earlier, and I just wanted to go to the medical component of it. If something was wrong with your stomach, would, you know, and the doctor said, here, take this, it's going to make you feel better. And then you take that medicine and, oh my goodness, your stomach is better. Great. And you're able to now function in your life. It's the same thing if you're having, if there is a chemical balance and your doctor's saying, okay, I really think this would work for you. And, you know, medication's not for everybody, but it does help a lot of people. And the people that it's helped have said, oh, my goodness, without that, I couldn't have made it through. And so, you know, and that's something that we all have to work on and saying, like, okay, that medication is just like a medication for a heart condition. It's just like a medication for a cancer treatment. You know, there's different levels of medication that people will choose, and that's okay, whatever they choose, because that's what's working for them. And really, you should be able to say, good on you for being able to go and do that. And because of the stigma around it. But if we all start to switch our mind and say, okay, our brain is just another part of our body, and we can help it with medication like we help the other parts of our body with medication, then really it shouldn't be any different. We shouldn't look at it as a, you shouldn't be taking medication for that. I mean,
you both have spoken about people saying they're fine, but they're not fine. And I think part of that is what we say. You know, even if you're having troubles in life or a bad day, oh, I'm fine. It's just expected culturally, I guess, in a sense. And also you don't want to say unload on everyone every time you see them. But if you have a friend that says, oh, I'm fine, you said there are signs, there's body language. Can you give maybe some examples of what to look for?
The light isn't in their eyes like perhaps it would be.
I can give an example.
Please do.
Yeah. I'm just thinking of actually myself. I had not had a depressive episode for quite some time. Mm-hmm. And last November, it's very clear in my head, there's some things that happened, and we hadn't really had a summer. And for me, I'm really affected by light and mm-hmm. sunshine. And so it's my first summer in Ketchikan after the winter I'd been here. So I basically moved here in the wintertime and then had a second winter in the summer. You know? Mm. So come November, I suddenly was like, oh, I'm not feeling great. And my husband, I actually didn't notice it had gotten so bad until my husband said to me, he's like, I'm concerned about you. Mm. I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, you don't look like you anymore. I'm like, well, I'm me, you know, and then there's the defense, but I'm me. And he said, no, like you sit and you stare blankly, straightforward. Oh. He's like, your light's gone. You know, mm-hmm. you're this person who has, you know, passion and love and all of this great things. And he's like, your energy is just not here. I think you should quit your job. And I think you should do this. And I think you should do that. And I was like, no. And he is like, well, what can I do? How can I fix this for you? And I remember actually getting frustrated and angry, like just, leave me alone. And that's what I would do, is push people out, because it's a lot of effort.
Yes.
To be a certain way for other people. And then finally he's like, what can I do? And I looked at him and said, you can just be with me. Mm. And so he sat on the couch and held my hand as I stared straight out ahead. But that's actually what I needed, you know, and we did that a couple nights and I was like, I can't be like this. I got to do something. So then, I don't take medication, but I was like, okay, I know what's happening. My husband now knows what's happening. He would ask me, are you thinking of hurting yourself? And those are the questions you need to be able to ask. And it's hard, especially somebody that you love. And I wasn't, thankfully at the moment, that time I wasn't. So then I could tell him that. He's like, okay, let's go for a walk. I'm like, I don't want to go for a walk. Mm-hmm. Last thing I want to do. And he's like, we're going for a walk. And he literally just pulls me up and off we go. And then when I'm walking, I'm like, okay, I'm feeling a little bit better. Mm-hmm. You know, so he could see it, you know, because he knows me very well. But there's also that thing about, you know, it's not your role to fix the person. There's nothing wrong with them to fix. It's about being with them. Yeah. And if they are at a spot where you're thinking, whoa, you need some further assistance, you know, then that's when you would reach out to the resources in the community and make sure that they can access that. Can I help you get some help?
Let's talk again about some of the resources that are available in this community. I don't know if you know them all. I mean, who knows what's out there?
Yeah,
but
there's
a lot.
But if you could kind of mention
where people can get help if they're looking for help.
Well, we can get a help at Gateway Aquila. We can get help at KIC. We can get help through our local providers, our mental health clinicians. Mm-hmm. We can get help from SAIL. I've heard wonderful things about our SAIL program. We can get help from...
There's private practice individuals.
Yes.
So if you just do a search for Ketchikan Counselor, there's I think there was 23 that I saw the other day. And one of the things that Wellness Coalition has is on our website, we have something called Ketcha Links. And if you click on there, it'll have at the top sort of a list of all the things you might need help with. And one of them says health. Another says a substance abuse. There's a whole bunch more. And then you just click on those little things and it'll bring you down to a full list of resources in our community. And we are working to expand on those to have them fully comprehensive in our community. But you can always, you know, you can go to Peace Health. You could go to Public Health. You could go to Gateway. And if you go to any place that you think maybe they can help you, they should be able to refer you to the right place, mm-hmm. depending on what it is that you're going through.
You also mentioned quite a few support groups that are out there and people. How can they find out about those? Are there links somewhere, or just if you go to a clinician and say, I need something?
Usually SAIL has a peer support group. So if you contacted SAIL, they have a mental health peer support mm-hmm. group. And that's for a variety, like whatever. They cover the broad spectrum of mental health disorders in that group. Mm-hmm. I'd contact SAIL because they're the peer support group that I know and hear about the most. Mm-hmm. I do know there was another one, but I thought it wasn't as local. So,
I want to talk for a minute about this idea of talking or thinking about harming oneself. There is this popular belief among us that, oh, if I ask this person if they're thinking about harming themselves, it'll make the problem worse. That is a myth. It does not make the problem inside of the other person any worse. There is no harm in asking, are you thinking about harming yourself? In fact, it can open a door mm-hmm. into a conversation where where the loneliness and the despair might vanish. We talk about our problems in healthy communities. There can't be this, oh, I don't talk about the problem. I don't want to rock the boat. There is a suicide hotline that can be accessed 24/7. So I just want to let folks know that that is out there as well.
And I had a question, and it just escaped my brain.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we only have a few minutes left. Is there anything else that you wanted to bring up?
No, I think just for me, so one of the things that the Wellness Coalition is really trying to work on as part of this grant is a navigator role within our community where it will be a person or a website that can be very comprehensive so that if you're looking for a resource, you can go there or go to that person and they will guide you through the steps because it can be daunting. Mm-hmm. And so hopefully we'll have that in the early of the next year. Fingers crossed.
I remembered my question, and it had to do with the stigma of mental illness. Do you think with all the activities that have been going on, various marches, various events, that the stigma is getting broken in a sense? Do you feel like people are responding?
I do. Mm-hmm. Among my peers, they also sense that healing has taken place in our community. But it's not a one-time, hi, here we are. We need to continue this conversation. So I hope that we have begun to scratch the surface of the trauma that has occurred in our community, what goes on in our hearts. But I think change is happening and I'm honored to get to be a part of it.
Okay. All right. I was just going to say, and the fact that we're even here talking about it, for me, mm-hmm. this is the first time I've publicly talked about my depression because there's always been the, oh, they're going to look at me differently. But I think it's important. And a lot of my courage for coming today has been inspired by what's been going on with Anthony Bourdain, Kate mm-hmm. Spade's death, various other athletes that have committed suicide. I think just talking about it is I see a lot more public discourse around mental health and in a positive way, which
what often happens too is as you said, now that you've let people know, then they feel safer to mm-hmm. let other people know.
Yeah,
as well.
Can I give you the Caroline number?
Sure.
So if you're having thoughts of suicide or need someone to speak to, there is a mental health emergency counseling line, which is 1-877-266-4357. And that's Alaska Caroline. And if you couldn't write that down, if you just do a little search on our beautiful Google, you can find the Caroline. And it's an amazing resource to have.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you both for being here
thank you.
Sharing your stories as well as getting out a lot of very good information.
Great.
Thank you.
Thanks so
too.
Much for having us.